people at the back of the room. He wasn't looking at Spook. He just sat, quietly spooning gruel into his mouth. His face was gnarled and twisted like leather that had been sitting in the sun for far too long.
"Well," the gnarled man said between bites. "Where did you get money like this?" Spook's father demanded. "None of your business."
"We can't let the boy go," one of the Ska said. "He'll betray us. Once they catch him, he'll tell them that we knew."
"They won't catch him," the gnarled man said, taking another bite of food. "He'll be with me, in Luthadel. Besides, if you don't let him go, I'll just go ahead and tell the obligators about you all." He paused, lowering his spoon, glancing at the crowd with a crusty look.
"Unless you're going to kill me, too."
Spook's father finally took his heel off Spook's neck as he stepped toward the gnarled stranger. However, Spook's mother grabbed her husband's arm.
"Don't, Jeddah," she said softly,
but not too softly for Spook's enhanced ears.
"He'll kill you."
"He's a traitor," Spook's father spat. "Servant in the Lord Ruler's army."
"He brought us coins. Surely taking his money is better than simply killing the boy?"
Spook's father looked down at the woman.
"You did this. You sent for your brother. You knew he'd want to take the boy."
Spook's mother turned away. The gnarled man finally set down his spoon, then stood. People backed away from his chair in apprehension. He walked with a pronounced limp as he crossed the room.
"Come on, boy," he said, not looking at Spook as he opened the door.
Spook rose slowly, tentatively. He glanced at his mother and father as he backed away. Jeddah stooped down, finally gathering up the coins. Margell met Spook's eyes, then turned away. "This is all I can give you," her posture seemed to say. Spook turned, rubbing his neck, and rushed into the hot red sunlight after the stranger. The elder man hobbled along, walking with a cane. He glanced at Spook as he walked.
"You have a name, boy?"
Spook opened his mouth, then stopped. His old name didn't seem like it would do anymore.
"Lestibones,"
he finally said. The old man didn't bat an eye. Later, Kelsier would decide that Lestibones was too difficult to say, and name him Spook instead. Spook never did figure out whether or not Clubs knew how to speak Eastern street slang. Even if he did, Spook doubted that he'd understood the reference. Lestibones. Lefting I'm born. Street slang for I've been abandoned.
I now believe that Kelsier's stories, legends, and prophecies about the 11th metal were fabricated by Ruin. Kelsier was looking for a way to kill the Lord Ruler, and Ruin, ever subtle, provided a way. That secret was indeed crucial. Kelsier's 11th metal provided the very clue we needed to defeat the Lord Ruler. However, even in this we were manipulated. The Lord Ruler knew Ruin's goals, and would never have released him from the Well of Ascension. So Ruin needed other pawns, and for that to happen, the Lord Ruler needed to die. Even our greatest victory was shaped by Ruin's subtle fingers.
24. Days later, Milan's words still pricked Tensun's conscience. "You come, proclaim dread news, then leave us to solve the problems on our own?" During his year of imprisonment, it had seemed simple. He would make his accusations, deliver his information, then accept the punishment he deserved. But now, strangely, an eternity of imprisonment seemed like the easy way out. If he let himself be taken in such a manner, How was he better than the first generation? He would be avoiding the issues, content to be locked away, knowing that the outside world was no longer his problem. Fool, he thought. You'll be imprisoned for eternity, or at least until the Chondra themselves are destroyed and you die of starvation. That's not the easy way out. By accepting your punishment, you're doing the honorable, orderly thing. And by doing so, he would leave Milan and the others to be destroyed, as their leaders refused to take action. What's more, he would leave Vin without the information she needed. Even from within the homeland, he could feel the occasional rumbles in the rock. The earthquakes were still remote, and the others likely ignored them. But Tensun worried. The end could be nearing. If it was, then Vin needed to know the truths about the Chondra, their origins, their beliefs. Perhaps she could use the trust itself. Yet if he told Vin anything more, it would mean an even greater betrayal of his people. Perhaps a human would have found it ridiculous that he would hesitate now. However, so far, his true sins had been impulsive, and he'd only later rationalized what he'd done. If he fought his way free of prison, it would be different. Willful and deliberate. He closed his eyes, feeling the chill of his cage, which still sat alone in the large cavern. The place was mostly abandoned during the sleeping hours. What was the point? Even with the blessing of presence, which let Tensun focus despite his uncomfortable confines, he could think of no way to escape the meshed cage and its fifth-generation guards, who all bore the blessing of potency. Even if he did get out of the cage, Tensun would have to pass through dozens of small caverns. With his body mass as low as it was, he didn't have the muscles to fight, and he couldn't outrun Chondra, who had the blessing of potency. He was trapped. In a way, this was comforting. Escape was not something he preferred to contemplate. It simply wasn't the Chondra way. He had broken contract and deserved punishment. There was honor in facing the consequences of one's actions. Wasn't there? He shifted positions in his cell. Unlike that of a real human, the skin of his naked body did not become sore or chapped from the extended exposure, for he could reform his flesh to remove wounds. However, there was little to do about the cramped feeling he got from being forced to sit in the small cage for so long.